Hello, James here. Before we get started with today's episode, just to let you know, there is a version with full tracks, which is around 2 hours long, up now on patreon.com/oasispod. So if you want to hear the full tracks that we're talking about, go and check it out over there. Otherwise, enjoy the show as it is with clips, which is all we can get away with on a podcast. Enjoy the show.
All right, it's Liam. I want to thank everyone at the Oasis Podcast, as you were.
Welcome back to the Oasis Podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. And today we've got a very exciting crossover episode as I'm joined by Adam from Listen Up DJs. How you doing, man?
I'm good. Thanks for you.
Yeah, all good. All good. Going to be a fun one today because I was on Twitter or X, or whatever you want to call it. And and I saw you put out a little tweet, which was about, you know, who had the best Britpop bands north or south, right? And as a proud southerner, I did comment, and actually I thought, well, probably north, actually, if you know, when you take into account, well, does that give you Scotland, does that give you Wales, you know, there's that whole argument. But then I went away and I thought about it, and I thought, you know what, the south has got some strong bands, and I thought, let's put this to the test, let's do a little debate. And I'll come out and fight for the South. But so what was your thinking when you put that out?
I was just thinking about it. I was just thinking about kind of growing up in the 90s. And obviously, well, I'm from Bolton, which is just outside of Manchester. So obviously strongly in the North. And just thinking what my experience of Britpop would have been versus, you know, someone growing up in the South. So it just got me thinking about it, really. Put it out. Might worth saving the results at the end.
Hold on. That's not who wins. You know, that's not the decider of who wins. But anyway, we'll maybe once we've done this, we'll say the result, and then we'll put out our picks. And it is a funny one, isn't it? Because I think that's a really good point. Because especially whenever you see, you know, all the Britpop documentaries and stuff that come out, it sort of pisses me off because it always kind of follows the same trajectory. Like, oh, Elastica and Suede and Blur, and there they are in the pubs in Camden, and then you get these northern oiks come in, and then and then that's it. And it's like, well, hold on a minute, it wasn't that, you know. And even when you think about bands like, you know, Lightning Seeds, you know, they were putting out what I would call Britpop, you know, in like 92-93. James, you know, where'd you put James into it? You know, there's, you do have that sort of what is Britpop debate, but you know, there's brilliant bands from the South that have got that more kind of laddish rock sound. And then there's great bands from the North that have got that more quirky sound. So it's not quite that North-South divide, but I can see where people come to that point.
Yeah, I guess when you do think sort of that Britpop genre, you do seem to think of that sort of, like you say, that sort of that Camden set and the, what was the pub called down there that everyone used to hang out with? Good mixer, that's it. I guess one thing with Britpop as well, though, when it came to the North and South divide, the South had a lot more sort of prominent females, didn't they, in bands. There were a great deal of bands coming out of the North with, you know, female members, and certainly not sort of, you know, singers and, you know, front person. So, yeah, there's definitely a difference with that.
That's a good point. Yeah, well, look, anyway, so what we said is, right, let's think about this. So we didn't just want to have a debate on it. I said we've got to put some parameters in there. So what we've said is we're both going to nominate our three best Britpop songs, Britpop albums, and then bands from the South and the North. And the rule is you can't pick the same person for each. So I can't pick Blur for song, album, and band. I can only pick them for one. Yeah. So it forces us to do, you know, to do some more. And just to give people a heads up, so we are drawing a line. This became a bit of a debate. And if you Google kind of, you know, England North-South divide, basically the line kind of goes as a diagonal from above, just above Bristol. Bristol counts as South. And it's kind of a diagonal line across the country. So Birmingham is North. So if Ocean Colour Scene turn up, you can have them. And then like East Anglia kind of comes under South. I think Ipswich, Norfolk, you know, that would probably come under South. Peterborough, Lincolnshire, I think that's the line when you're sort of you're into your north there. I think if you're from Lincolnshire, you probably count yourself as northern. And then, yeah, and then the other thing is, you know, even though the Manics are from South Wales, I think you pretty much count Wales as north. I mean, you know, if you're from Newport or Swansea or something and you wanted to argue, I don't think someone from South Wales would count themselves as a southerner. So I think if you want them, yeah, fine. Wales, Northern Ireland and Scotland are yours. But what are you doing? Are you going England only, or are you going to pinch the devolved nations?
I think I'm going to largely stick to England, but yeah, I think there's some Southern Welsh people who might disagree with being classified as Northern English.
Well, not Northern English.
Comments on that one.
But where they put themselves on the north-south divide. There you go. And I think it is interesting because, you know, you've got that divide politically, culturally, and yeah, and so it is fun. But anyway, right, so let's crack on then, shall we? So I'll just hit you with my three songs. And then we always get into that what is Britpop debate, and I'm going to drop in here. I wasn't going to include these guys for band or album because I think that would kind of be cheating because I don't class them as Britpop. But when it comes to this song, I'm going to include it, and I'm going Radiohead with Just. That to me was a massive song in the 90s, you know. And so while you couldn't really argue they're a Britpop band, I mean, you could, I suppose, it depends on where you sort of draw the line. But Just by Radiohead for me was like a massive song around that time. Loved, you know, that album, The Bends. OK Computer is also absolute genius. For me, they kind of drop off a bit after that. I know people still love them and think they're, you know, genius. But for me, it's sort of once they, you know, stepped away and went a bit weirder, I sort of lost them a little bit. So I'm going Just by Radiohead. I'm going Hey Dude by Kula Shaker. Absolutely love Kula Shaker. And I think that is an awesome, just a fantastic song. Brilliant structure. It's got like two massive choruses. Love it. Brilliant guitar all the way through. And third, one of my favourite songs of all time, maybe the best Britpop song, Yes by McCalmont and Butler. So I've got to stick that in there. So that's my three songs. What you got? And what do you think of those, first off?
No, good choices. Yeah, good choices. Yes is a great show. And I think that was the thing when it came to Britpop. You know, you just had like so many bands wouldn't necessarily, you know, go on to make great album after great album after great album. It just seems to be a great track coming out literally every week, didn't it? So yeah, good shout.
Yeah, I think I had a couple of sort of honourable mentions in there that, you know, I was like, oh, you know, well, no, I'm not going to say them there because then I'll keep that back because otherwise you'll know I haven't used them elsewhere. So go on. Anyway, so give us your three songs then.
Yeah, so yeah, I found it quite difficult sticking, obviously, I went with my favourite three bands first, obviously, then that dictates, obviously, albums and the songs. But first of all, I've gone for Chasing Rainbows by Shed Seven.
Okay.
For me, that's one of the best tracks of that era. I remember it was like, you know, you had those bands coming through, like, obviously, Oasis, and we'll come on to this, were sort of like the trailblazers, weren't they? But it just seemed when you got into them and there was other bands of that ilk coming through. But yeah, I can still remember where I was when my mate first played me that track. I absolutely love it, and it's come out of an anthem, especially up north as well. So yeah, gone with that one. I could deny, but I'll never realize I'm just chasing rainbows all the time. And then I miss my cue. Everybody had a laugh. Second is Blinded by the Sun by the Seahorses. Again, yeah. Loved it when they came through, especially obviously Squire. That was really interesting for him to, you know, have that another band following from the Roses. Again, just a great, great track. The track obviously written by Helm, but obviously with his guitar on top. And then a little bit left field, this one, not the band. I've gone for Kelly's Heroes by Black Grape.
I think
they're probably a little bit overlooked sometimes when you think about Britpop. Well, I just like that link to, so I like that link to sort of like the Manchester scene, which we obviously with Sean, and the baggy scene, because obviously that informed a lot of Britpop as well. But you know, ultimately that, I mean, the album, but particularly that song, it's just a great track. So, and obviously Sean on, like, you know, TFI Friday. So that's, you know, again, that program, like Britpop wise, was, you know, central to it, wasn't it? So yeah, they're my three tracks.
Fantastic. That's great. I'll tell you what, I was just watching on, you know, the Top of the Pops reruns, and they put on channel on BBC Four. And I watched one the other day, and it was, I think, June 1st of June 1995, I think. And it was Reverend Black Grape, which was just phenomenal. And then you also had Therapy, Reef, Pulp, Common People. And it was like, that is a great show. You know, that's so good. Like, you know, there was a couple of stinkers in there, like Robson and Drone being at number one was just like, ugh. But, you know, I remember that as a kid, like, you're seeing all these amazing bands. It's like, and number one again is Robson and Jerome. Like, fuck off, you know.
I'll scratch them off my list then.
But are they? Yeah, they're both Northerners, aren't they? You could have had that chain melody. So, brilliant stuff. And what was it? The other ones, Kelly's Heroes, great. Blinded by the Sun, the guitar playing on that, you can just sort of, you know, you can just listen. There's a couple of little runs he does in there, and you're like, how does he do that? You know, I don't even understand how he does that. And yeah, Chasing Rainbows, to be honest, like, that was never one of my favourites. Maybe it was being a Southerner, but I liked, like, Getting Better and a few of the other tracks, like Bully Boy and things like that. But I get it's an anthem. And the big thing with them, I suppose, is that, you know, probably they've stood the test of time in their success levels, maybe better than anyone. You know, the fact that they play arenas when they do their tours, and yet, you know, there's bands like Cast and Dodgy and people like that that were bigger than them at the time, and got better press and better reviews and things like that. And now they're like playing pubs, and Shed Seven are bloody playing arenas. It's amazing. Yeah. So
still producing good stuff as well. I mean, some of the recent albums and stuff was, you know, some pretty decent tracks on there as well. But just live as well, and you go watching them, it's just awesome. So, yeah.
Awesome. Good. Well, there you go. So people listening, what are you going for songs? There's some classics in there. Good. All right. Albums. So I'll go first again. So I've got three albums here. I have Elastica with their debut, Elastica. I've got another Oxford band. I've got Supergrass, Aisha Coco, their debut. Absolutely amazing. And Blue Tones, Expecting to Fly. I think I've got three absolute killers there. Three great albums. All, I mean, the bands were all great as well. Obviously, Elastica never really did anything else. They did that one follow-up, didn't they? Like 99, 2000 or something. But yeah, really, they're a one-album band. And it is just a really, really special album. And obviously, they're so important in the history of the movement. Supergrass, Aisha Coco, you know, I think that's one of my favorite albums. It's one I go back to all the time. It's just so well arranged and produced, and they were so young, you know, but you know, there's all these amazing guitar lines and bass lines, and there's so much going on. It's like they just twist and turn all over the place. You just think that's so, you know, it's like like a Led Zeppelin or someone like that, you know. It's so good, like it's so technically brilliant. You know, and to think that they were putting that together when they were so young was just remarkable. And then, yeah, Expected to Fly, like, absolutely killer. Like, so many great tunes. You know, Slight Return and Cut Some Rug and Can't Be Trusted and Fountainhead. It's just a great, great album, start to finish. So, yeah. What do you reckon?
No, definitely, yeah. All great albums. I was never really into Elastica, sort of, when I was younger, but it's a band that I've really grown to appreciate, you know, certainly over the last, sort of, like, 5 or 10 years. And, yeah, love that album, yeah. So, yeah, good choices.
Go on, then, what you got?
So, I think the North are going to come into their own here a little bit. So, the first one is Urban Hymns, which for me is, you know, I think it's game over already. but yeah, excuse me. I mean, I probably wanted to put The Verve into my bands, but I think another one would have beaten them. But yeah, I mean, that to me. I mean, I guess I was like 17 when that came out, and obviously Bittersweet Symphony and stuff like that. So I didn't know the earlier stuff. But it just seemed like it was never ending. Just these awesome bands just coming out over and over again with great tracks, great albums. And, you know, for me, again, living in Bolton, like Wigan's just down the road. So it was like you had Oasis down the road in Manchester coming out. Then you had The Verve from Wigan. It was just like, know, every turn is great music. But I mean, to me, that's it's top 10 album for me. That it's just absolutely perfection. So, yeah, Urban Hymns the first one. I've gone for All Change by Cast.
Yeah.
Absolutely love Cast.
I
do love the second album, but yeah, when you think about sort of like, you know, what people would deem to be Britpop, well, the singles off that record, you know, All Right, Sandstorm, Fine Time, Walk Away. It's just four, just class tracks, and yes, the album tracks as well. Also a little nod to the Lars, obviously Noel said, obviously Britpop started with the Lars, didn't he? So obviously the John connection, but yeah, just love that album. And then for the third one, I'm going to go for The Gobble Out by Embrace. I know it's a little bit later on, like 98, but again, you know, not Lancastrians like me, but from the other side, the hills. But yeah, just again, another sort of band with like attitude coming out from not so far away. And again, I just think that record is just absolutely brilliant. Like the buzz for that band as well at the time, you know, when they came out, and another couple of brothers in a band, so that sort of like that little link to Oasis and stuff. But yeah, three great albums, I think. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I can't argue with that. I cannot argue with that. I think Embrace is one that is I've gone back to over the years, you know, because it's so, I mean, there's a couple of rockers on there, which are probably the weakest songs on there, like Last Gas. I'll say it the Northern way. We'll say Supergrass and we'll say Cast. And Last Gas. And there's another one. You've Got to Say Yes, which I don't think is great. I think One Big Family is brilliant. And but I think for me, that's just the ballads on that album, like Retread and Fireworks. Oh. That, you know, if you just want to chill, I'll just program in. But back in the day when I might, like, you know, you program in the CD player, what tracks you want to play. But I would, if you just like, right, I just want like seven chill tracks in the, you know, while I'm doing my homework, like, or whatever, you know, perfect. You can stick on, like, you know, four. Or if you want, I want something anthemic. But yeah, I mean, that the Goodwill Out the track, I think, is one of my favorite tracks of all time. That's just so powerful. And because, you know, he's so genuine, he's such a good guy. Well, they're all good guys, aren't they? Have you had any of the Embrace guys on?
Yeah, we had a couple of them. We had Mickey Dale on recently as well. They invited us over to a gig in was it Sheffield. And again, you know, still when you see them live these days, it's still great. And, you know, I thought there was some decent stuff in the last few albums, to be honest. So, you know, still making great music.
Yeah, they're really amazing. I've interviewed the bass player, Steve.
Yes, we had Steve as well. Yeah.
Yeah, great guy. Okay. And but I haven't had on Danny, but Danny did my friend Katie's podcast, Sound Effects, and it was amazing. Like, he just opened up so much, all about his history, about everything he'd been through. It was a really powerful listen. So emotional, you know, so open emotionally. I was so amazed by that. And actually I went back and listened to their stuff again after that, and it's like, yeah, you can hear it. You know, he's so open, and they got so much abuse, you know, and you think, God, you know, that guy, he was bearing his soul, and they were, you know, just slagging him off.
I guess there might be a few people who would say it's not Britpop. It's always this argument that sort of like BNO came out and that was the end of it, or no going to Downing Street and all that. But, you know, 98, still, you know, a great British guitar band. So, yeah, definitely having them down. We'll
Yeah, I'd have them. I mean, that's the thing. I think that they're definitely on the edge, and there's other bands that came out in 98 that was like, oh, are they, would you count them? But for me, I mean, I think we're the same age. So I was 17, 97. And so for me, like those singles coming out, you know, the throughout 97, yeah, okay, the album's 98, but you know, it wasn't, didn't matter. I mean, I wasn't like, oh, that has officially finished now. You know, you're still going to gigs and buying the NME and stuff. It's like, yeah.
Yeah,
it wasn't quite as exciting, like, but there was still amazing stuff coming out all the time. But anyway, I think it's a lot of it is snobby twats who are like 5 years older than us, who are like, oh no, it's not cool now because once after David Devont and the Spirit Wife released their first album, it was over. which is great, that album, by the way. They're not on my list. All right, well, here's the big one then. So I'll tell you what, rather than go all three, let's go one by one on these. So I'll go number three for my band. I'll go Suede.
Yeah.
So I had to include Suede. They're not my favorite, actually. It's a band I never really vibed with back in the day. Same as the Smiths as well. Like, I just didn't really get it. And also, I'm very much about the voice. And if a voice annoys me, I'm like, nah, I can't listen to it. And his voice annoyed me, Brett. He just pissed me off. And so I never really liked them back in the day. But then over the years, especially the first couple of albums with Bernard Butler on them, they're brilliant. You know, I love them. And Brett still pisses me off, and I do still have to kind of grin and bear his voice a little bit. But yeah, you can't argue with them. What a band, you know, and really, really special and important in that moment, in creating that scene.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What you got? What's your thoughts on Suede, and then give us your third?
Well, it's probably similar. Yeah, I wasn't really big into them years ago, but again, it's a band that I've come to like, and yeah, obviously understand the significance, you know, particularly on Britpop, especially some of the early stuff like Animal Nitrate and stuff like that. You know, what a track that is. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, yeah, a band have started to collect their albums and stuff. So yeah, no, it's a good show. Yeah, you have to, but yeah, especially, you know, Southern Britpop bands, they've got to be in there, haven't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Go on, who's your number three?
So probably a bit of a similar theme, really. Again, not a band I was massively into in the 90s, and you know, not necessarily so much now, but I just felt like I had to include them when you're talking about Britpop in the North, so it's Pulp.
Yeah.
I think for me, I again, like I mentioned before, so yeah, you know, growing up sort of, in the sort of Manchester Bolton way, you had Oasis, Cast, Shed Seven, like I mentioned, Embrace, and just had that look, so sort of like Pulp's look and sort of vibe didn't really fit that sort of theme for me. But you know, massive tracks which are huge to Britpop, different class, obviously. I mean, like His and Hers before that, but yeah, I wouldn't necessarily be my top three Britpop bands, or certainly Northern bands, but obviously I had to pick albums and tracks by some of my other favourites. But yeah, I had to mention them. So yeah, my third will be Pulp.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think Pulp will probably be my second favourite band after Oasis. I mean, I've said this on the pod before, but you know, back in like in the 90s, you know, I carved a band name into my desk, which pissed my parents off. But it wasn't Oasis I carved, it was Pulp. You know, Pulp were a really, really big band for me. Yeah, they're sort of... You know, I still love them, but you know, they sort of Oasis probably overtook them. But yeah, but it is funny, like when you think about the Northern bands, and actually Pulp are more thrown in. If you split it in like the quirky bands and then the more rockier bands, Pulp sort of sit in the quirky band category with Suede and Blur.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so it's funny that, isn't it? So yeah. I mean, Sheffield, I suppose, is sort of its own kind of it's funny when we talk about North South. Often, like Newcastle feels different, like the Geordie sound is different, and then the Liverpool sound is different, and then Sheffield is often its own thing, isn't it? There's sort of a quirkiness about Sheffield often. Even going back to like the Human League and people like that.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's, I didn't dislike him, and like you could recognise the like say Disco 2000, stuff like that, you know, Common People. Just any compilation, a Britpop compilation, is going to have those tracks on. So yeah. Got to mention them.
They got to be in there. They got to be in there. No, I'd love it. They'd be in my top bands. All right, so second, I'm going to throw in a curveball here because this is not a band, it's a person. Right. I'm going, it's the only person, whenever I do the, you know, you can throw in the only solo artist, Paul Weller. You got to include him, I think. Like, you know, yes, he was around from the 70s, but in that time period, he was so important. He was that link to the past. You know, the Oasis loved him, and the you know, there was such an important link there. There he was. And he was actually, we think of him now as being like really old. He was only like 35.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which is just crazy, really. But actually, because he was so young when the Jam came out, that you sort of thought of him as being like this really old guy. He was only like 3 years older than Jarvis, you know. But it was amazing, really. So Weller. What a legend, you know, obviously for the Jam, Style Council's great. For that period from, you know, the first album, which probably wouldn't count as Britpop, was a bit too early, but then Wildwood, Heavy Soul, and obviously Stanley Road, just amazing. And so, Weller's a bit of a cheeky one because he's not a band, but he counts.
No, absolutely. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Oh, I love him. No, I love Paul Weller. I probably get some stick for this, but I prefer listening to his solo stuff than Jam and Style Council. Just again, probably through growing up with it. But like I said, that run of albums and Wildwood. I mean, what an album that is. Mm-hmm. So yeah, great choice. All the good things you deserve now.
Love it. Go on. Who's your number two then? I can probably guess.
So, weirdly, sort of aligned to Weller. Again, there'll be some debate in terms of North-South divide, but one of my favourite bands of all time, Ocean Colour Scene. I mean, again, a band that gets stick, probably got stick at the time, certainly gets stick now, but, you know, the songs and the albums they've produced over the years, Simon Fowler's voice, you know, all great players as well, but I just getting into sort of Oasis first of all, and then a band coming on like Ocean Colour Scene, had that sort of like throwback to the 60s and obviously that mod sort of vibe. What a band. Moses Shoals marching already. I love a lot of the latest stuff, and obviously not Britpop as such, but just spoiled for choice, weren't we, with bands like that. Absolutely incredible band.
No, I agree. I think that the amazing thing about them for me as well, almost like I was saying about Supergrass, it's like the individual players were amazing. Like one thing you didn't really have in Britpop as much, like when you look back at the 70s, it was like, this guitar player, you know, or even the 80s with the rock stuff, like Van Halen, you know, Eddie Van Halen or Tony Iommi for Black Sabbath. It was all about individual players, but you never really had that much in Britpop. I suppose you had Bernard and Suede and things like that. But Ocean Colour Scene, you look at those individual players, and they're all just incredible. So hence when Weller was like, right, I'm picking the best bass player and the best guitar player. And that was it. And when you hear tracks like 100 Mile High City and things like that, it's like, it's so clever. You know, the way it jumps around and stuff. And I don't think Britpop's normally about the songs. You know what I mean? That's what normally people focus on is big songs, bouncy choruses, you know, thumping chords. But OCS, I don't think they get the respect for this. As a group of four individual players, Oscar the drummer is fantastic. Simon, what a voice. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. actually, as a group of four players, are right up there for me with, like, the other bands I'd put in that bracket would be like The Who and the Stone Roses. As like individual, yeah, yeah. a four piece that are just all phenomenal players. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think, yeah. You know, again, we'll come on to it, but obviously B-sides was a massive thing, you know, yeah. more so in the 90s, certainly is now, but obviously with Oasis in that decade. But some of the B-sides, Ocean Casino as well, just phenomenal tracks. There's this, you know, there's those collections you can get with all the B-sides on, just great tracks. Yeah. Brilliant, brilliant band.
No, absolutely. So where had we got to then? We are
band number one, aren't we? It would be
band number one each. Sure. So so I'll go with my number one choice then. You could probably guess what it is by this point, but let me just give you some honourable mentions that came up. Menswear, you know, not our best band, but you know, in best song, I think there's a few options there. Gene. Similar to Suede, not really one of my favourites, but I know a lot of people absolutely love them.
Great band.
Dodgy, yeah. Loads of great songs. You know, definitely they were in the running for best song for staying out for the summer, Good Enough, things like that. Echo Belly and Sleeper. You know, we're saying about the female friend of bands. Yeah. Echo Belly and Sleeper, definitely. You suppose you can chuck in Lush in there. Republica, if you want to go. I'm not a massive Republica fan. I remember hearing Republica actually and thinking, like, the first time I heard, like, whatever the first one was, probably Ready to Go. And I was like, that's either brilliant or rubbish. And I can't decide. You know what I mean? It's one of those you think, is that brilliant or is that just crap? But and then Sleeper. Another option. I was going to maybe go in between of a best song, but yeah, so some good choices in there. But number one is Blur. So, you know, you got to go Blur, really. You know, so important in the movement. Like we're saying, it was them and Suede that really kicked it all off. You know, one of those ones that came from the baggy days that still was able to sort of transfer across. Whereas a lot of bands like, you know, The Farm, for instance, you know, or, In Spiral Carpets, you know what I mean? There's a lot of bands that didn't really, that had that moment in like 90, 92, 93, but then never really kind of got that bump in Britpop world. But yeah, Blur obviously did, you know, Blur made that move, whether it's the fashion aspect as well or whatever it was. But, you know, being pop, you know, being poppy and Damon being a pretty boy as well was obviously helpful. That got the teeny boppers on side. People forget that, I think, you know, when you look back, like it was pop, you know, it was really young and young people going and, you know, seeing them on Top of the Pops and things, actually watching the reruns. It's like, it was really young kids, you know, just like lusting after these young pop stars, the same as they do over, you know, whoever like the current pop band of the day is, you know. Yeah, they were an indie band. So, yeah, people forget that, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Blur, I mean, what more can you say? And the new album, the new album they put out this year is probably my album of the year. I haven't heard a huge amount of new stuff this year, but you know, but I think that album is amazing as well. So yeah, just a remarkable, incredible band, amazing back catalogue, reinvented themselves every album. Well, the only time they didn't was The Great Escape, which is probably people think is their weakest album, but I still think there's some amazing tracks on that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just an incredible band.
Yeah, I again in the 90s, I was probably, you know, probably overly loyal to Northern bands. But yeah, again, I liked them at the time, and I've grown to like them even more, to be honest. You know, and what a talent Damon Albarn is as well. Oh, you know, to think what he's done, you know, aside from Blur, and you're right, you know, that the latest stuff, the new album and the lead single as well, I thought was really good. So, I mean, a band who's selling out Wembley Stadium, you know, still, you know, just says it all, doesn't it, really? So, yeah, good band. Not a great band.
Absolutely. All right, so then, so I suppose your number one, I can guess, it's Northern Uproar.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be, hasn't it? Got to be Oasis. Changed my life, honestly. I know that sounds really sort of a little bit melodramatic, but I mean, I've got the 7-inch Wonderwall framed on my wall just over here. Remember hearing that song at school, and that was it. That put me on to all the bands that I've talked about. That just kind of just opened the door to all that, and just everything, just like the fashion, the attitude. Most important band in my life. Certainly the best band in the 90s of that era. Yeah, I'd say one thing, and funnily enough, with you mentioning Blur, I don't know what you thought about it at the time and now, but I just hated that that Battle of the Band things, you know, Roll With It and Country House. When you think about it, you think about the tracks they produced, and they were being sort of, you know, put up against each other with tracks like that, that were just like Roll With It for me is like one of Oasis' weakest singles, and Country House, I'm not into that at all by Blur. They had so many much better songs than that, but yeah, I wasn't into all that kind of stuff. And especially, you know, it's, I don't necessarily say it caused a divide as such, but you know, Britpop was, you know, is sort of all inclusive, all over the country, the whole old country was producing great music, wasn't it? So there wasn't any need for that. But yeah, just getting back onto Oasis, I mean, yeah, I just feel like I don't need to say it. It's just, it's game over, isn't it? It's got to be.
Oh dear, oh dear. And look, well, I've got my Britpop band list here, so I'll just give you some alternatives. So people you didn't mention, right? So you've got Black Grape in there. Boo Radleys, you could have had. This is what you could have won. This is now. You could have gone with, because it's North, the Scandinavian bands. We call them honorary Britpop. So you could have had Wannadies, Cardigans, you could have had.
Soundtrack of Our Lives.
Soundtrack of Our Lives, absolutely. Yeah. Divine mm-hmm. Comedy and Ash from Northern Ireland, you could mm-hmm. have had. We've got
Stereophonics.
From South Wales, then you've got Stereophonics, you've got Gorky's Iconic Minky, you've got Manic Street Preachers, you've got Heavy Stereo.
I was going to go by honorary members then. Sorry, honorary mention. So, James. I mean, yeah. Some of these I don't sort of that they were producing in that period, but I wouldn't necessarily say Britpop. So like James, but then like I mean, the Roses album, second album came out in the midst of that, didn't it? But yeah, I'd put down great band. Charlatans.
What about the Charlatans? I was surprised. I thought the Charlatans would jump in there. Actually, you didn't include the Charlatans.
Yeah. It's an odd one because. Where do they sit? So there's this always this debate about are they Manchester, are they Midlands? So yeah, no, it was one I was thinking about that, but yeah, I would have liked to have had them as my third band, to be honest. But mm-hmm. I felt like I had to mention Pulp. So yeah
you've got to put Pulp in there, haven't you? You've got to put Pulp in there. Manson, you could have had. Manson are from Merseyside, aren't they? I think.
Ah right, yeah, of course, yeah.
I think of them as being Southerners, but they're not. Yeah, I think they're not from Liverpool, but I think they're from Merseyside. Mm-hmm. Someone can correct me. You got some great bands in there. Northern Uproar, to be fair. I do pick on them as being like, you know, the sort of the rubbish. You know, they're the example, I think, of like when it went like, okay, let's just find anyone with a haircut and a guitar, you know. But they've got some good tunes, to be fair to them.
Space from Liverpool as well.
I was literally about to say Space, another one of those brilliant Scouse bands. And then, and if you go in like Wales, then you've got Super Furry, 60-foot Dolls even. You know, there's some great ones. And then you go Scotland, you've got Travis, Supernaturals. You know, there's some good ones there, but White Out. Anyway, all good. Yeah, so, well, on that bombshell that there was a lot of good Britpop bands. So what do you think? Having gone through, have you been swung over to the southern side, or are you still adamant that the north wins it?
No, definitely north. But best bands, best albums, best tracks, best gear, best attitude. I reckon.
Well, I suppose what we can agree is you know, if it had only been the northern bands or the southern bands, it wouldn't have, what it was. Yeah, you needed a bit of everything, don't you? You needed that. If it was just that kind of quirky kind of Camden scene, or just like the Ponzi kind of clever Oxford bands, you know, it wouldn't have been the same, you know. And then and obviously with Oasis coming through, and then the Verve, that giving the Verve the bump. I mean, you know, the Verve, like you said, Urban Hymns in 97, it's almost like a different thing, you know, like Radioheads, like a, you know, Verve do count as Britpop, definitely, but, you know, they are different, like same as sort of Radiohead, really. You know, there's just something so, so special about those albums that you just like, God, yeah. But no, I think that's my overriding factor, having thought about all these, is, yeah, it's really, it took everything. It took that whole soup of all these amazing bands with all their little quirks, like we say in the Liverpool guys, like Space being different and quirky, and you know, and cast having you know, the Lars influence and pulling through to them, Paul Weller being there in the background. Yeah, it was magic.
The thing as well is, and thrown into all that, you had sort of definitely crossed over into Britpop, didn't it? So you had all the dance elements, so Prodigy, Chemical Brothers, obviously Britpop artists, Prodigy appearing at Nebworth, didn't they? Am I right?
Yeah, they did.
All your trip-hop stuff. Fatboy Slim. Massive Attack, Portishead, that coming into the mix as well. And, you know, again, sort of your Britpop bands working with some of those artists as well. So it's, what a combination.
I think, if you chuck in the Bristol bands for trip pop as well, then I think then the South takes it. I think just about on a judge's decision. Well, anyway, go on. What did the people say then when you posted that Twitter poll? What was the result?
90% North, I hate to say.
90%. God. Although I did retweet that out. Yeah, number one, so you guys are listen up Manchester. Right, so your followers are primarily going to be Manchester people that go and see you, and also I retweeted it as well to 12,000 Oasis fans who follow me. So they're going to go Oasis, aren't they? So
give me that one. No, and I don't think that's a fair reflection, to be honest. Like I say, it'd be much closer than that, but yeah.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Look, what we'll do is we'll post out a series of tweets as well about, like, you know, the songs versus the songs and albums and bands, and we'll see what people come back, and I'll maybe pick that up next episode and we'll see who wins. But come on, I run the Oasis podcast, and I'm arguing for the thing that's not Oasis to win, but there you go.
It's very good of you.
Cool, good. All right, well, thanks so much, Adam. It's been really good having you on.
No, I've enjoyed it, really appreciate it. Thanks very much, James.
Yeah, no worries. And what are you guys up to? Much, have you got anything planned?
Yeah, we got some stuff coming up. We just come back from DJing at Shine On, which was really cool. Oh,
amazing. How was that?
Yeah, it's really good. We've done it for the last 3 years now. And, you know, funnily enough, we've ended up like DJing with, you mentioned before, Republica, Space. We played with Matt Chadwick from Levelers the last time. So, yeah, it's great. I don't know if you've ever been. It's well worth checking out. It's just great bands. It's a really good vibe. And we just started a new night in Manchester every Friday night at 33 Oldham Street. That's just a wall-to-wall Manchester music all night. So, yeah.
Fantastic.
Great Northern music.
There we go. Awesome. I'll have to come up and check that out. That would be great. Oh, yeah. 33 Oldham Street. Whereabouts is that in the city then?
Next to 35. I only say that because someone seriously asked us that question once. Said, "Oh, where's 33 Oldham Street?" And said, "Oh, between 31 and 35. And it's in the north. Joking apart, it's in the Northern Quarter.
Northern Quarter, okay.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough. What was it? There's a guy that a family member knows, and he's like 7'2".
Right.
And so, because people ask him all the time, like, "How tall are you?" And so he says, "Oh, I'm 5'27" or something like that. But anyway, yeah, it is annoying, isn't it? Cool. All right. Well, that sounds great.
It's great because there's bands they bring bands back. Small, like Dixie's band and stuff like that. They bring them back for like occasional gigs and stuff. So you just get to see some great bands. And yeah, I mean, the thing is, they don't pay us for it. There's three of us go down and they give us like access to the festival all weekend. They pay for all our food all weekend, or like you get riders when you're DJing and stuff. And yeah, ultimately we get to like play with like, you know, bands we grew up with and stuff. We play like Chris Elm. We DJed before and after Chris Elm once. So that was really cool. But like when they have like a restaurant on the complex for artists. We don't classify ourselves as artists.
I'm an artist.
Yeah.
Piss eyes.
Yeah. But you end up like, they sit down and, last time you sit down and Steve Lamax sat across from you and Clint Boone's walking past. And yeah, it's great. It's really good. It's really good fun. So, well, it's getting too old for it these days. I can't cope with drinking anymore.
Adam, so anyway, thank you very much, mate. So where can the kids find you online? What's the best option?
Yeah, you can check out our website, listenup.co.uk, or alternatively, at listenup_ on Twitter, listenupmusic on Facebook, or at listenupmusic_MCR on Instagram.
Brilliant. Sounds good, mate. And then, yeah, as I said, Friday nights at 33.
That's the one. Get down.
Brilliant. I have to get...
And yeah, it's a music little... for you.
Yeah, Northern music. No. All right, mate. Well, come down and play the Jericho Tavern in Oxford. There you go. Then I might...
I'd love to. Love to.
All right. Cheers, Adam. Great to speak, mate.
Take care, mate. Bye-bye. Unshakeable, 'cause we know just what we